Welcome to another episode of Side Hustles and Turnbuckles with your host, Knuckles and Poppy. Now let's get that bell rung and get this thing started.
Welcome to another episode of Side Hustles and Turnbuckles. And today, I'm Knuckles.
I'm Poppy.
And we got two guests in the show today. We have the Southern Bell is company, but we're also got the leader of the Camachos. The familia. We got Angel.
Yes,
and you've always seen me as the leader, so I'm just going to call you. I don't want to get any disrespect to all the other brothers. I don't want nobody killing me, but I've always just thought you were the brother or the leader anyway.
I have been, like I told you earlier. We all, you know, families have inner issues. Got settled, so we're good.
And now you got to deal with other jackasses now that have come along.
Unfortunately.
So we're going to go back and we're going to talk about your humble beginnings and how you started in this business and go back to, I guess it started with you in Cleveland?
Yep, Cleveland, Ohio.
And so how did that come about?
It's a funny story because most people's story is, oh, I've always wanted to be a wrestler. Watched it growing up. I watched it, but I wasn't like faithful. It wasn't like I had to be glued by the TV.
Who was your favorite wrestler?
At that time, Bill Goldberg.
They said Stone Cold Hogan.
And Yokozuna. But I've always been an athlete, and I was at work one day, and me and my buddy were in the office, and we were just talking, and he brought it up, wanting to train to be a wrestler, and I was like the stuff on TV, and he was like, yeah. I was like, fuck it, let's try it. I mean, what's the worst that can happen, you know? Then it was just from that point on, like, fell in love with it.
And so who trained you down there?
Lou Gotti. I was one of his very first students. And out of all the guys that I trained with, I'm the only one still around.
So when Lou moved to Texas, that moved you to Texas?
No, so I ended up moving to Oklahoma first. It was like late 2011, early 2012. And then he ended up moving, I want to say to Texas, maybe 2 years later. So
I guess you fell in love with it. It's a lot better than Ohio, I take it.
I got family back at home, but by the time it was said that I already had kids, so I couldn't move.
And then you got family that came back down here, like Oto and all them. Are they from here?
Yeah, they're Oto's from Texas, and then Anik and Zarek are both from. Oh, and Emmy is from Texas. Anik and Zarek are from Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So cool. And so you also share a mutual friend that we know through Angel Miguel Torres.
Yep. Yeah.
And he would talk about you. And that's how we knew about you before we ever knew anything about DFW. We were able to find out about him.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, man, he's a good guy. I've seen him wrestle before. I don't know if he ever like helped train you or anything.
No, but he was on a couple of my home promotion, which was Lou Gotti's promotion back home, which was called Hard Knocks Wrestling. So that's how I met him.
So that's where Hard Knocks comes from, all the way from Ohio.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Our school was called the Cleveland Dungeon, and then the promotion was Hard Knocks Wrestling.
Okay, now bringing over now to Texas, and when did you come here to Texas to start wrestling?
So once Lou moved to Texas, he got me booked on MPX. I did a trial for Texoma when I was still in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Nothing came out of that, and then when Lou moved to Texas and started wrestling, he got me booked on MPX, and me and him had a singles match. And after that, it was just, from that point on, people just asked me. And then I really, really got really big in Texas once I started doing DFW and people seen more of me. I did VIP very first show.
Yeah.
And then after that, I didn't do VIP anything else. And then when he started DFW All Pro, he brought me in regularly. And that's when people started seeing what I can do.
I was like, wow, when I see you for the first time, it's like, oh my God, he's going to kick somebody's ass. I don't know who the guy is he's fighting, but the dude's going to get his ass whooped.
Yeah, that's usually how that happens.
But I mean, now you're here. And so what plans you have now?
Man, honestly, I think at one point I had aspirations of taking this somewhere with it. And at this point, if it happens, cool. If it don't, I'm happy with
just being an independent, man. It's like really cool.
I travel every single weekend. You know, now I do have aspirations of going to different states and stuff. I'm currently doing Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas. I've done, North Carolina. I went back home last year in September, for promotion in Ohio. So I do want to go different states. But in the sense of like trying to make it to WWE and stuff like that, If it happens, cool. I'm not doing anything to try to make it happen because at this point, I got four kids.
Exactly.
So they're priority always.
I mean, I've talked to Fuego, and Fuego says it's more fun to be in the independents than it was to be on AEW.
A lot of people, I hear that a lot. Honestly, I hear that a whole lot. I'm not saying it's impossible for me to do it, but I think right now my focus on my kids. Like, that's my main focus. I need to make sure that they're taken care of and stuff like that. So,
well, that's cool. So, let's talk about your stuff with RCW that's coming up with Stud Stash this weekend.
Stud Stash. Yeah. It's funny because I did a show in Corpus Christi a couple of years ago, and that's the first time I met Stud Stash, and we took a picture. He posted it on Facebook. We took a picture like a face off, and a couple of years later, now we finally get to have our one-on-one. We wanted that for a while, so it's definitely going to be a good one.
I'm definitely going to watch it Saturday afternoon when he comes on.
Yeah.
I've already got title match for it.
Okay, cool, yeah. It's definitely going to be a good one. There'll be a lot of hard-hitting in that match, so.
Now, when you go down there, are you just Angel Camacho or are you part of still DFW Cartel?
Me and Emmy, we parted ways with the cartel. It was just a lot better for us.
I thought you had a long time ago. That I kept seeing the cartel pop up and I was telling him, I said, I thought everybody was, cartel was no more.
Here in DFW, they are. Like, it's kind of, we're pretty much no more.
Right.
But in RCW, we still did cartel for a while. But like I said, me and Emmy, we were having some problems with some. So, you know, once NASCAR decided to turn his back on us, we decided better to go our separate ways.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't do it, do it yourself, man.
Yeah.
And that way, I think you'd be better.
Well, I mean, I've been racking up the wins since I've left.
Well, there you go.
Cartel, too. So.
So this whole thing that's coming up, I know I'm going way too fast here, but. This whole thing coming up next weekend, the Blood Feud.
Mm-hmm.
What can we see in that?
You're going to see a lot, man. I don't think we've quite decided what kind of match is going to be.
Man.
But whatever it is, every single one of them are going to pay dearly. Because
we made a comment to Plo that they should do like a little War Games type match and put it in a cage. But yeah. I don't know if that could hold out there.
So I made that suggestion too, but at the Hideout Bar,
I don't think it would be that big.
It's not going to work. The bar is not that big, so yeah. It won't work. They won't be able to fit a cage in there. But hey, listen, I don't know why, but people always have it out for the Camachos.
I don't know why there's too many, man. You're a family.
Well, they feel threatened by us because, you know, every one of us in the family are very good at what we do.
And, you know, the thing, too, is now that the Victoria's in this and part of it, shouldn't we get Emmy involved with Victoria?
We should, but at the end of the day, you know, Emmy's got her own things going, too. So Emmy's been blowing up, so she's got her own little focuses. Victoria stuck her nose in the business of men, so she gets to get treated like one, too. I hate to sound like that guy, but I believe in equality.
I like to see that.
Dude, I'm the guy that wants to see Rhea getting manhandled. So I'm sorry.
I'm saying Victoria, she wants to get involved. She's involved now.
Yeah, I believe in equality. So,
Well, guys, come up with some questions here. I'm just, we got him here.
You wouldn't shut up.
Oh, burn. Nah, I'm telling you.
While you've been doing this wrestling, what is your favorite match you ever done?
Oh.
Honestly, up to this point, it used to be mine with Rhinos, me against Rhino, which was a good match. But I want to say that, I'm going to be honest with you, the Camacho one, the four-way, was really, really good.
That was a good one.
Each one of us are always constantly pushing ourselves to our limits. And at that point, we were able to push everyone in that ring to their
limits. I mean, Zarek and Onyx as a tag team are just phenomenal. Sitting watching them, Zarek, both of them. Just singles are just, Zarek's just a badass wrestler.
Yes. I tell people all the time, man, if anyone in this family is going to make it, and this isn't saying that none of us could, because everyone in the family are good, but the two that could really, really make it because of the drive that they have for it would be Zarek and Emmy. Zarek's universal. That man can do anything.
Man.
Right? There's not one thing he can't do.
I'm blown away at what he does when he's in there. I mean, that match that he had, wasn't it him that fought Lou at the VIP that one year, last year?
Yeah.
That was a good match.
Yeah.
And, I mean, then I've seen him and Onyx as a tag team fighting for at some water park or some beach, I think, in Corpus Christi. And I was like, wow, I did not realize they were that good. And I was like, damn, man. Yeah. Why ain't they like working for WWE or AEW or something like that?
At the end of the day, like I said, it all depends on how much you want to put into it. You know, outside of wrestling, we do have real lives because we're still human. You know, but like I said, Zarek and Emmy are the ones that are really trying to push it. At one point, I was too, but I'm 37 years old.
Like my kids are getting a family,
and they're starting to play sports. So now I'm going to try to be around for that right. too. So I'm, you know, my independent career has been good thus far. I want it to be a little better in the sense of different states and stuff like that. But as of right now, they're my focus.
And you're having more fun being independent, getting to create, being on your own time schedule and being on your own schedule instead of being WWE where they work you to death.
Now, don't get me wrong, though.
I
wouldn't mind making a WWE AEW. One of my dreams before I decided to call it quits would be to go to Japan.
Oh, I could see you in Japan. Oh my God.
But so like if that time ever came, I'm not gonna say, oh no, I'm good. But I'm also not, like I said, I'm not doing anything to try to get to that point. You know, because again, they're my priority and I gotta make sure they're taken care of before I can go out.
You know, I think it'll happen for you. I think maybe it'll be something that you'll just have a promoter watch your video and say, who is this guy?
Yeah.
I think it'll happen, dude, without you having to work. I mean, you're working, obviously, but without you having to promote yourself, somebody will see it. I mean, change your time.
Well, too, I also started in a time where we had the flyer and all kinds of stuff. And I started in 2009. So social media wasn't the thing. It was, but it was MySpace, you know?
Right.
Facebook was for college kids. So I'm still trying to get better at the whole posting videos. And
I still like the old poster flyers you put up in places. You go to a club and go, oh, wow, that's going on here next week. I got to come see that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm still trying to get better at the social media aspect of things. So
well, you're doing good. I'm fine. I see that you put on your Facebook page. You're doing awesome.
Yeah, you're right, but it could definitely be 100 times better. Like,
that'd be better than my dad. My dad don't know how to do any of that stuff.
So how did you start this? Did you want to do it when you were in high school, or is just something that just came to you?
No, like I told him, honestly, one of my buddies mentioned wanting to do it, and I was just like, let's try it. I mean, what was the most that could happen? I didn't like it. And I just continued playing football, baseball. I mean, I played everything as a child. So I'm very athletic for that exact reason. That's why when wrestling came around, I'm not going to say it was easy, but it was a lot easier for me than it would for a lot of people. So,
and then you just fell in love with it. Yeah.
I say this all the time, though. If I still wasn't playing semi-pro football, there's no telling what my wrestling career was. I can honestly say I probably wouldn't even have kids right now. If it wasn't for me getting married and having kids and stuff like that, I wouldn't be a school bus driver outside of wrestling. Wrestling would have been my full time.
You're a school bus driver?
Mm-hmm.
I can picture that.
You're a school bus driver?
School bus driver.
Down in the back. Don't make me get up.
That's pretty much how it is, too. Because I got fifth the pre-K.
Wow. So.
He needs to be on Stormy's bus in.
No joke.
But if it wasn't for semi-pro football, if I'd have quit playing football when I started wrestling, then wrestling would have been my full time.
So you're still playing football now?
No, I quit football about 3 years ago.
Wow.
My last season, I became a SOAR championship tag team champion with Lou.
Oh, wow.
So I did my last season of football and decided I was going to spend more
time. Who were you playing for?
So here in Texas, I've never played somebody, but in Oklahoma for a team called the Elite.
Oh, wow.
And then there was another team called the Oklahoma Bulls. I played for a couple. I played in Ohio too, though.
Damn.
My first year at semi-pro football was after I graduated high school in 2005.
Wow. So, I mean, you got any advice you could give, like, a young person that's wanting to get in this business, that is looking to learn, and any advice you could give them that they might want to hear from a seasoned vet?
Well, first thing first, don't come into this thinking it's going to be easy. You know, you hear so much, oh, wrestling's fake. That'll be easy. And then those exact people will be the ones that come in and do a tryout and can't even get through a tryout because it just whooped them.
Yeah.
So definitely coming in this with the mindset of this is what you really want to do. That's what tryouts are for too. You know, to decide that it is what you want to do. Wrestling takes a shit ton of your life. when during training, you're spending a lot of time in training or at shows, or you're barely home.
And to my understanding, you're still training when you're not doing shows.
Yeah, after graduating, like, training is a forever thing because things evolve.
It's not just saying training is forever.
Wrestling evolves. You know what I mean? So you got to evolve with the time too. You can't be an old school wrestler trying to evolve in this new age of wrestling. It's just not going to work out.
So what does your training regimen consist of?
Honestly, going to work and coming home.
grabbing a bus.
Now, one thing I'm guilty of saying is I'm horrible when it comes to training. You know, I spend a lot of time, like I said, with the kids and stuff like that. So it takes a lot of my time. So I want to get in the gym. I should be in the gym. I pay for a gym membership and I'm not going once. but
that's a resolution
for the younger kids that don't have kids and stuff like that. For the younger people that want to come and wrestle, definitely understand that it is a physical sport. So it is definitely a good thing to be in the gym, work out, eat healthy, stuff like that. And it's funny because, you know, that's coming from me to someone that doesn't do that stuff. And I know I have to.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm also 37. I'm probably, I don't know how many more years I have left. I want to make 20 for sure. I'll be 15 in May. That'd be 15 year mark. So 20 is for sure. But I also know that one, that's going to take me getting back in the gym and working out and maybe even slowing down a little. That way I'm not tearing my body apart because I'm traveling every weekend. I'm wrestling every weekend right now and my body. It's keeping up with me, but
there's going to be a day when it seems like, hey, we're done.
Yeah, so working out is a huge part of this. But like I said, just understand when you come into this, this isn't just being an actor. This isn't just entertaining people. There's physical aspects in this.
I can only imagine.
And then, like I said, the time spent, you have to spend in training. You know, as a trainee, depending on what school you go to, they expect you at shows to tear rings apart. Be security, then you can't go until the rings took him back apart and took him back to the training center. So you spend a lot of time in wrestling for whatever months you're training.
Damn.
It's time consuming. Wow. So if wrestling is something they want to do like as a career, understand that you have to take the right steps to do it. Also having a bit of athletic ability, because I'm gonna be honest with you, it's not impossible. But it being near impossible if you come into this with no athletic ability.
Now, let me ask you, back in the old days, before you ever started, there was such a thing called paying your dues. Is that still a thing?
Yep, that's still a thing.
Because I know it was hardcore to hear some of these old vets talk about paying your dues, some of the stuff that they had to go through.
Yeah, no. Now, I will say back then, it was a little bit more, crazy.
More of an initiation process, more than paying your dues.
Yeah, but nowadays, it's the same thing, though. You still pay your dues. Am I paying your dues? That doesn't mean you have to go out there and embarrass yourself.
Right.
It's just more the sense of being there when you need to be there, putting the ring together, taking the ring down, cleaning up, that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know? But yeah, that's still around.
Well, and you know, you're talking about the training thing. You still get your workout. I didn't even know that that was why you were off all this week because of school. You're a bus driver. That's still got to be a job within itself and training.
It is, but that's dealing with kids and stuff, you know.
Hey,
you haven't met my daughter yet.
Nah, it's a good job. I do love it.
How long you been doing it for?
2 years now. Wow. I've had my CDL for quite a while, though.
Wow.
I couldn't be a bus driver being home with my kids and then want to be on the bus with them.
Yeah, it's either being a bus driver or being a trucker.
I think, honestly, that's what kind of helps me with these kids is that I have four of my own and I love my kids, but they're rowdy.
They're sweet that age, but when they're teenagers.
Mm-hmm. So my kids are, you know, I got an 8, 10, 11, and a 15-year-old.
Oh, good God.
So, They're very rowdy, so I think that prepared me to deal with the kids.
Just the on your own.
So
she's got two teenage daughters.
I got 17 and 16 now. My youngest
dog. Or
well, my oldest does have mental disabilities.
Oh,
so God. She's a 5 to her mind works 5 to 6 year old. But smart girl. I mean, she still knows right from wrong. She still does her own things. Takes her own shot.
I've had some smart conversations with some 5-year-old and 6-year-olds on adult level. So, There's no such thing as mental disabled, man.
Yeah. But like I said, I think having them, my kids prepare me to be a bus driver.
And the thing about kids, it's really cool, is they're the most honest people in the whole world.
You're not lying, boy.
I mean, they tell you exactly what they're thinking. And we need more people like that.
It's funny because I've had one kid on my bus. That's always like, Mr. Fluffy, because they call me Mr. Fluffy. They go, Mr. Fluffy, why are you so fat?
Like, that's
when you need to pop out your little video.
They know. But I laugh because like, these kids have no filter whatsoever. Like, it's funny.
So they're comparing you to Gabriel Iglesias?
Hey.
Mr. Fluffy?
No, because I kind of told them to call me Mr. Fluffy because that my first year as a school bus driver was last year when I stood up and introduced myself. I told him you can either call me Mr. Fluffy or you can call me Mr. and then my last name.
Okay.
But
they chose Mr. Fluffy.
They chose Mr. Fluffy.
Well, because that way, because with your real name and your last name, it's not probably less threatening to call you Mr. Fluffy.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to see the real guy all angry. They want to see Mr. Fluffy all happy. That sounds like a happy guy. But then again, you couldn't wrestle with a name like Mr. Fluffy. That would not distill fear.
I mean, it could work if I had...
If you have feathers or something.
It could work if I had a comedic gimmick.
But not if you want to be taken seriously in a blood feud.
No, not at all.
Mr. Fluffy's getting down and dirty this weekend.
Yeah.
So, next week at the DFW All-Pro A. Oh, and also, before I even say that, we need a return match between you and Morte for the Hard Knocks Championship.
Yeah.
You were kind of screwed out of that, dude.
I was.
There definitely needs to be, we definitely need to speak up about that one, dude.
The way I said it, I'll come with due time. And at least next time, I'll be more prepared for him and his lackeys.
Well, dude, I know when they had the last DFW All-Pro X, you and Emmy were, I think, in RCW.
Yeah.
And when they all came out and Ocho, Onyx, and Derek came out in clean freaking house, dude. It was brutal, dude. Just three of them just took their asses out, dude. Three.
And that's why, like I said, like, you know, when Muerte and then they try to play a numbers game, but they don't realize.
They are the true numbers.
They seem to forget who we are, you know, that we have numbers.
I guess so. They're going to have to learn, dude.
Mm-hmm. You know, Muerte more than anyone knows because when the Camacho first came on the scene, we had that Hell and Back match against the crew with Muerte, Aaron Sykes, and Helio Guerra.
Oh wow. See, that was before my time when I started coming.
That was the very first Hell and Back. So we were the originators of the Hell and Back.
And who won that one?
The Camachos won that one.
Oh hell yeah, see. And is there another Camacho that fights with you guys? I mean, that is on see the guy. Then I heard it. There's another Camacho.
So we have a cousin Camacho back in Arkansas, but he's a manager. He's not.
What's his name?
Urban Camacho.
Okay.
But he's a manager. He's not a wrestler.
Well, maybe we need Urban to come down and like help manage you guys so we can have even more family.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if we have like a whole Camacho clan representing, man.
Be like the mob.
And dude, I mean, it's forget DFW cartel, it'd be the Camacho Familia. International.
Yeah.
Represent.
Well, the good thing is, I can tell everyone, we've worked really hard to make the Camacho name a name that everyone knows.
Yeah.
You know, we take it very serious. We take our wrestling very serious.
Oh hell yeah, you do.
So we've done our best to make a good impression, a good name for ourselves. So,
well, I need to buy one of y'all shirts, and I know you got to have them in big boy size.
We did. I was just talking to the guys about that. Actually, we need to get some more made and stuff. Like, we haven't had some in a while.
I want to buy one. I want to represent. Yeah. I want to carry it with me everywhere I go.
As soon as we get one, I will let you know for sure.
I'll even take an Angel shirt. If there's an Angel Camacho shirt, or I'll just wear it.
Man, honestly, I did shirt for a while, and it's crazy because like
Angel the front, first Mr. time that, on the back.
Well, the first time I ever did merch is when we became UFC. That was what, 5-6 years ago. That was the first time I had ever sewn in merch ever in my life. When I first started wrestling, my impression was I'm a heel. No one's gonna buy my stuff.
Oh, I love the heels.
So, but that's how it was back in the day. Was right. A lot of Hills guys didn't sell merch because they're the assholes, right?
Yeah.
But then when we became UFC and my cousins and Sam came out, we finally sold shirts. And man, they sold quick. We did pre-order and we made enough money that our pre-orders paid for our shirts for the show and still put money in our pockets.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then I still didn't personally do any by myself until I had fans just come up to me left or right. Man, you need to get some merch, get some merch. But I finally get it and then no one buys it. So once I sold some, I think I got still some at the house, but they're little shirts. They're for like little people.
Well, I get one, even if it's a little shirt, we'll sign it and we'll hang it on the wall. We'll get you to sign it and hang it on the wall. What is it? The Puerto Rican Juggernaut?
Right now it just says, I believe it says Angel Camacho. It's got a little Juggernaut guy on it. But, I do have some more designs that I need to get going and put on shirts. I bought a printer so I can do it all myself. I just got to get the ink and stuff like that. Cause it's what you say.
And you're learning.
Yeah. So, but I need to start doing that so that I can. But I got some really nice designs.
I love the logo, the Puerto Rican Juggernaut. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Dude. I just reamped that logo too. That's so cool. That's the new one I just put on Facebook.
Yeah. That's badass, dude. Yeah.
So.
Anything?
No, it is. We do need to get some merch out. Definitely.
I definitely will wear it. I'm serious, dude.
Yeah. No, they're coming soon sometime, I guess.
And, dude, as far as heels are my favorite people in wrestling, period. I mean, I do like the baby faces, but I've always been a villain guy.
Yeah, but that's more of a now thing because back then it wasn't like that. You know, back in the old days, people love their faces. They love their good guys.
Well, dude, I loved it. But, growing up in the 80s, Roddy Piper was my favorite, even out of WWE, and I really didn't watch a whole lot of WWE, but Roddy Piper was why I watched it when I watched it.
Yeah.
Because, man, that dude was just an asshole. But, I mean, he's who I liked. And, I mean, people like Nastico.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
And I like him. And I like you guys. And I never thought you were a villain anyway. I always just thought you were the good guys whenever you came out. And now you are the good guys.
Yeah.
Against the greater assholes.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Well, somebody needs to put all the Valley Rejects in their place. And the fact that John Doe joined them, I was like, what the hell?
Well, I can tell you, they chose the wrong people to take a fight.
No joke.
There's probably plenty of other people I could have thought they would pick a fight with. That'd be easier.
Even told them, I said, man, they screwed up by going after the Camachos. Mm-hmm.
Again, what it is they know the Camachos have made a name for themselves, and they want to make a name for themselves. So what's the best way to make a name for yourself? Not to start at the bottom, start at the top.
Go after the kick your bull's nuts and mess with you guys, dude. Mm-hmm.
Well, dude, they're not very. That's why they're called rejects for a reason, I guess.
I guess so.
They're not very smart.
Really not, because you don't go like trying to grab the horn off the devil.
Have you been in a death match before?
I have not, and I refuse to. I have done hardcore matches, but I will not do a death match.
Yeah, I didn't figure it'd be a death match with you guys. I figured it might be a hardcore. At least.
If anything, it'd be a hardcore match because I will not do a death match.
I don't blame you.
I won't do light bulbs.
I've seen that.
I don't mind going through tables and stuff like that, but I'm not doing fire. I'm not doing glass.
Last one at a hideout with Mighty Axe. Oh my gosh. I got cut there on that one. Mm-hmm. That was.
I scoot back.
It was awesome to see, but I don't like them to get hurt.
Yeah. It's very. Man, it's. Crazy how many people love that.
Have you ever seen those kind of matches live? My question is,
well, live, yes. So the first one I seen live, to be honest with you, my very first one was when they were at the Legion, the last show they did at the Legion.
With the light tubes and everything?
Yeah.
My thing is, do they have doctors in the back that pick that glass out of them?
Some do, some don't.
God, I couldn't.
But it was Muay versus Helio.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
And that was rough. That was rough to watch.
I believe it.
It's intense.
I mean, I grew up watching CZW. I don't know if you remember. Yeah. And I was like, I was like, man, they're going to do deathmatch. I couldn't imagine. And then they did it. I was like, crap. And Jack Lovecraft was telling me before the show, he goes, you might not want to sit where you sit at ringside. You might want to scoot back. So I did. That little chair that they got sitting, that big old long bench they got sitting, I scoot all the way to the very end of it. I didn't want to get over
there. That's. Whew, that's well. Again, I do hardcore, but definitely.
Yeah, I don't blame
light balls and stuff. I'm good.
Hell no.
I had the front row for that show.
That stuff scars.
Yeah.
And when the Camachos came out to take out Death Valley, when the last show, I was sitting right there at ringside when John jumped off of the post and came down on all of them. I was right there and I got caught up smushed where I was at. So I'm like, man, screw this. And so I like went and sat down on the other end of the bench. And I thought, man, I'm definitely getting out of the way before that glass starts swinging.
Yeah. I've seen, seen some brutal moments with that glass.
What's been your most brutalist match you've ever been in?
The Hell and Back match, definitely.
Man.
It was Bearwood, Bear King.
I know, that's kind of hurt.
No buckle. Slammed on the it was. I ended up, the second, so I've done the very first three Hell and Backs. The first one was UFC versus the crew. The second one was me and Lou versus Helio Muerte. And then the third one was that big, like, 16-man one. It was like the Cartel versus the DFW.
It's kind of hurt to get slammed on that wood.
And then that second one, I took a Spanish fly off the top.
Ooh.
On the wood, on the with no cover on the mat. See, I never knew that's what the mat looked like without the wood. When they took the mat up, I was like, oh, damn. It's like, oh my God, this is what they call it, to Hell and Back. And matter of fact, when they did show a video to the Hell and Back, when they were talking about the one they did last summer, they showed you.
Yeah.
Like, I think that you had two of them.
And yeah, that's the Spanish fly where I took the flip.
Yeah. And they showed that as the preview to it. And I was telling him, I said, oh God.
Yeah.
I said, this is this kind of match. I said, this is going to be nuts.
That did not feel good.
I bet it didn't. It didn't look too good.
I will say, when it comes to objects, I've fallen in the thumbtacks before, and that wasn't fun. That was, I fell off, I took a bump off the second buckle.
Was it intentional or did it happen accidentally?
It was during the match. Yeah, the guy, I was climbing up and he bopped me off and I fell off right into the thumbtacks.
Oh,
that shit's gotta hurt when it's
because it's scraped down, it's scraped down my back.
Did you have anybody picking them out for you?
Yeah, I had to pick them out my back. I had somehow I had them inside my gear. I had them inside my head, like in my head.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Damn,
that didn't.
That's not McFoley shit, Angel.
I think I would rather fall in Legos.
I think. Oh,
that would still hurt.
That would. It would.
But it just won't stick in you.
It won't stick.
Jack, speaking of Legos, at that last DFWX, Jack had brought Legos to fight with Kal-El, but Lou didn't want to use weapons for most of the matches.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
But damn. That last match was weapons. It was worse than tax.
But man, I just wonder what kind of matches we got to look forward to with you guys. And is it, hopefully this will solve everything between you guys, or if not,
or make it worse.
One way or another, it's going to be solved. Whether it's at this show or we take it to the streets. One way.
Street match. That would be cool.
Again, what it is, they forget who they're messing with. Like,
well, you need to remind them.
Camachos were born to fight. This is what we did growing up. This is what we do now. You know, so. Again, they want to make a name for themselves, and they figure the way they can is by coming after us. But they forget that we're not the ones you want to mess with.
Nope. So, I guess you're gonna be the one to teach them. Yeah, they gotta learn.
The problem is you show people some kindness, and then they try to take advantage of it
and take your kindness as weakness. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they're gonna learn when the dog shows his teeth this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
Well, here's the problem. There's a lot of size in these dogs. So
I was thinking something like that. I mean, you're pretty intimidating by yourself, man. I would rather go kick like an old grandpa in the nuts and mess with you.
Yeah, as soon as you walk out of the ring, everybody's like, oh my God, he's out. You know?
Yeah.
Well, when I see you coming out, my first thought is, this is not going to be good for them.
He's going to kill someone.
He's about to beat somebody's ass.
Yeah. That's usually, I said, a lot of times if it don't happen that way, it's because
they had help.
Yeah.
They brought friends, damn it.
Yeah. And even that's still kind of tough, because even with friends, most times.
Now, I think you already said the answer to this. I'm going to ask it again. Is Emmy going to be there in any capacity to help you guys or be there with you guys?
We're not too sure. We haven't talked yet. Love my sister to death, but she's really hard to get a hold of. Really hard to get hold of. But like I said, too, though, like, she's doing a lot of stuff for herself right now, trying to get her name out there.
Well, they probably all live all over the place, too. You probably live out there by yourself, don't you?
Yeah, where I live in Weatherford.
I know.
That's like 40 minutes from.
That's where she used to live?
That's where my parents are.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. That's a good 40 minutes from Hulk.
I love it out there, though, dude. It's nice out there, dude.
It's peaceful, man. I can't complain, so.
I mean, how long you been living there?
About to be, oh God. Well, it's probably closer to 3 years now.
See, that's a good place to live, dude. I like it out there.
It is. It's like, no one messes with me. And I think, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think I've noticed, even in real world, I intimidate a lot of people.
No, joking. Yeah, I've seen you. If I went to sneak into your house and seen you, I'm like,
I'm going
to
run.
I'm sorry. Here, I'm going to shut the window back. I'm gone.
Yeah, nah.
Just forget you seen me. I'll kick my own ass. I apologize.
That's funny.
I bet when they see you at Walmart, people would just like, oh, don't piss
me off. I get a lot of looks, believe it or not. I'll be going through Walmart and I'll look and people are just looking at me and, I'm such a large guy.
I like that Walmart though out in Hudson Oaks.
Yeah, it is.
That's got so much more stuff than the one down here that we go to over here in on Little Road in Arlington.
Yeah.
Because when we used to take her home and she would come down here for the weekends, we'd take her back home and we'd have to stop at that one up there. I'd buy stuff up there and I'd come back home trying to find it here. And I'm like,
yeah.
And she's like, well, they're different. I've noticed
every Walmart's different.
Exactly. Man. I'm like, man, hey, bring some of that stuff here. Yeah. I'm sitting there telling all the stalkers about that, and they're like,
"That's like when I'm trying to find like Hispanic spices and stuff in Weatherford. Not the Walmart store don't really have them, like the Goya stuff that I'm used to get."
Dude, I just found out something yesterday talking about Hispanic stuff. I found out there is a Mexican pastry shop over there off of Belknap, and it's called, I don't know what it's called, but it's 33 something. East Belknap, and all their bakery stuff is like for a buck, and I'm gonna go over there before I go to the next show, and I'm gonna buy some stuff and sneak it in.
Yeah.
I hope you're not listening, Chaz. Because God, I keep, man.
Yeah.
I love Mexican pastries, dude. I'm sorry.
Street tacos are my best. I love street tacos. Like, a matter of fact, tonight I'm making the Puerto Rican rice. It's some steak.
Now, what is the difference between Puerto Rican rice and Spanish rice?
So, it's just the seasonings and, like, what we put in it. Like, I put what's called sofrito, basically. It's just, sorry about that.
That's all right.
I do sofrito, which is basically, it looks like salsa, except it has ground up garlic, cilantro, peppers.
Oh, it already sounds good.
You can put onions in it, and then you grind it out into, like a salsa. And you just put it in with the rice when you're cooking it. So, like I said, it's mainly the spices that you put into
it. That.
Sounds good.
When you go to make your tacos, learn that. You need to give her the recipe.
But, yeah, that's what I'm making tonight for the family. That's the steak, too.
So, you do the cooking?
Not all the time. But I do when it comes to the rice. I'm the one that cooks the rice.
Okay, who's the better cook, you or your wife?
Definitely me, for sure.
That's bad.
Nah, she makes good stuff. I tell people it's me all the time, but she does cook. She does most of the cooking, and she does make good stuff.
But your favorite dish that you can cook?
Puerto Rican rice.
Puerto Rican rice. God, I've never
had it. That in empanadillas, which is basically, they look kind of like a moon, half a moon. And you put like meat and stuff in it, and then you fry it.
That sounds good.
There's a young lady that used to go to Big Rob's and bring stuff in like that to sell. And she made it. It was good.
Is there any Puerto Rican restaurants around?
There is in Dallas, for sure, I know. There's one that's called the Mofongo. When I first started traveling to Dallas to wrestle,
I went there a
couple times. And then there's another one, I want to say in Hertz, that I just previously found.
Really?
But in San Antonio, they're everywhere. They got food trucks. They got restaurants.
Wow. Yeah. Why do you go to RCW a lot? They're hanging out at the trucks.
Now, San Antonio has like all the food trucks and
restaurants. They get all the good food anyway, period, there that I want to go down there for. But we want to go and follow you guys down to RCW. We're talking about making a trip down there.
I'll tell you what now, though. If you decide to do that one day, buy your tickets early because RCW.
Oh, yeah.
I see it. They always sell out, and a lot of times it's standing room only.
Well, I'll be sitting on this if it's standing room only. I'll be cheating. He might be standing, but I'll be sitting.
Nah, it's worth it, though. RCW is probably one of the best promotions.
Oh, it's without a doubt. It's awesome. Every time we watch it on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, now that Bo Amir's taking on Fuego del Sol this weekend, mm-hmm. you're taking on Stud Stash.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but... Both got one coming too. Him and his lackey, Nastico. Because in that rumble, they took advantage and Nastico hit me with a chair. And then,
oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because I should have been, I definitely would have been the number one contender.
Nastico needs to be in the ring with you.
Oh, Nastico don't want that. That's why he always runs. That's why he always runs. But Bo knows he's got one coming.
Yep.
I've already made
he's it. Got a receipt.
So I'm going to wait my time. But like I mentioned in my last RCW promo, no one's safe. I don't care if it's his loved ones or his friends, even his girlfriend.
Damn.
No one's safe until I get my hands on Bo.
Damn.
That match is coming.
That match is going to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to happen. You will see.
Anything else, guys, before we get out there and you can catch your promos real quick so he can go home and make his rice?
Do you have any last things for Death Valley Rejects?
Honestly, I want to say yeah, but I'm not a man of words. I'm a man of fight.
Action.
You know what I mean? I prefer to show up with my hands rather than. But I mean, it's the same thing I've told them before. They got one coming, so I hope they come to the show ready. Because if they even come with an ounce of not being ready at all, they're gonna regret it. They're gonna regret it anyway.
Yeah.
But they better come prepared.
Yeah.
And they better remember who it is that they're wrestling, because.
That's right.
The moment that they forget who they're wrestling in, they get this big head thinking that they're better.
Mm. Oh, they already think they're better. Oh, that's it. But they're not gonna
win. We're going to have to shut them down and remind them
exactly
why we are who we are and why the Camachos have ran DFW for years now.
They're going to learn. They're going to have to learn. These knuckleheads today, they got to learn. Mm. If no other reason, just put hands on them and show them.
There's no more nice guys. Like, we're trying to be nice and whatnot, but
I think the nice guy has already got way past. I mean, it's now every time, like Bernie Mac said, I'm gonna fuck you up when I see you. There, you got to fight on site.
Yep.
And misunderstanding. As soon as I see you,
yep,
I'm gonna beat you to the white meat shows.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Well, all right, man. I guess we will go ahead and wrap this up. It's we've kept you on for a good long while, so. We'd love to have you, dude. Anytime you want to come back, then we'd love to have you. And if they ever want to come back over here with you, man, we'll make way. Cool. And maybe Mindy can like make some dish the next time you come out.
Nobody wants my cooking.
I don't. Maybe we're going to cook.
Who's the better cook between you and her?
He said that quick.
Yeah, he did.
Dude,
he didn't hesitate.
Yeah, dude, I cook microwave. I'm going to go in there and make me a microwave burrito here in a little bit. But anyway, dude, thank you, Angel, for showing up, man. Dude, I love you. You're one of my favorite fighters in DFW.
Thank you so much.
No problem. And it was just an honor. I was just so glad that you decided to come out. I was like, he's going to come out, man. This is so cool.
I know it took a couple of days.
Oh, that's all right, dude.
Sometimes, but.
Well, my dad had just, like, last month he broke his hip.
Okay.
And he's in there now. But, I mean, he's already up walking around on the walker. You can't keep him down.
Yeah.
He's 87 years old, and he's out here picking weeds earlier in the yard. So, I mean, he's already backing up the truck and everything, and or the car that he's got. But all right, dude, we kept you here, Mindy. Marcus, anything?
Nope. Good to see you again.
Thank you for coming.
I appreciate it. No problem at all.
And she said the photo shoot she'll do some other time with you.
Just let me know when.
Yeah, I will.
Your back's healing, you said.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, man. So, I do have a Bosin disc, and I think it's just from playing sports in general. Wrestling didn't make it any better. But I had two shows this past weekend. Wait, two or one? One show this past, but it was all the way in Mississippi. It was a 9-hour drive.
Yeah.
That's why I said, went out there. I won the Rumble. So I'm the number one contender for the AWA heavyweight title there. But I don't know. I woke up on Sunday. I was okay when I first woke up, and I laid back down. And when I got up, I think I got up too fast and I pulled my back.
Something like maybe the muscle or something?
So I, like I said, I got a bulging disc. So it just randomly hurts.
Man.
That's why I tell you, I know very much well that I need to get back in the gym. I'm very aware of that.
Right.
And I do need to. But
I'm very aware of that too.
Well, I'm very aware. I'm always going to have the bulging disc, but I'm very aware that losing weight will release some of that pressure as well.
Me too.
But I'm stubborn. So I'm still wrestling two shows this weekend. It's healing. It feels better now than it did earlier this week. But
well, I'm just glad you're healthy, man.
I'll try to be. I will say I'm a lot more healthier than guys my size. So that's not saying nothing for nothing. But
Right.
That I can say. Because when you're in that, when I'm in that ring, you can't tell.
No, you can't, dude. I mean, you would think you're like 20 pounds, man. The way you can do stuff and fly around and do all the stuff you do, yeah. You make it look easy, but it isn't.
It's not. Not even a little.
Well, thank you, Angel. Thank you for being here, dude. And I guess until next time, man, I'm Knuckles.
I'm Poppy.
I'm Southern Belle.
And you're
I'm Angel Camacho.
And we'll see you guys next time. Take care until then.
You've been listening to another episode of Side Hustles and Turnbuckles. Make sure you follow our Facebook page to keep up with everything that we've got going on. Until next time, this is Big Skinny with the Podsec Studio in Fort Worth, Texas. We'll see ya at the matches.